So we are transforming a sub-team into a wrap-up and a conclusion session around the question of ethics, deontology of our activity as users or developers of modelization, I think. Well, what came to my mind during this this session is the question of restitution, the restitution both of the work we are engaged in and the restitution eventually as an instrument of vulgarization, but the good side of vulgarization, that is the fact that we are employed to do things that it's good to, maybe it's good to have other people share. So I'll let the three of you say what you want, and then maybe we'll have a discussion, just 5 minutes maybe each, and then we'll have a discussion all around it. Of course, everybody is competent to talk about this subject. So please.
We have not prepared anything, so
no,
we are just throwing stones in the water. We were discussing today at lunch on something which is maybe related to ethics. The work of archaeologists in the 19th century, going in a place in Greece, in Italy, in Africa, South America, and discovering things and bringing things to the Paris museums, to the Louvre, to the British museums, can be somehow similar to what we are doing now, because we are going in faraway places, producing digital models, bringing these digital models back home. In many cases, we do not leave anything to the original. So in some sense, we are doing the same steps that our ancestors have done with digital middles. And this is probably something that we should discuss, how to prevent stealing material or bringing the digital knowledge in the West world without leaving anything in the original population or to the original civilizations. I don't know. It's one of the possible, no?
Yeah, absolutely. Stealing issue.
You're referring to the physical material.
No, I'm referring that we are now producing digital material, but we are in many cases bringing back home all the things that we discover, that we create, similar to what archaeologists have done 100 years ago, bringing the results of excavations to the British Museum, for example. So is this correct? Are we doing the same type of colonialism approach with the digital technology that was in the past?
Okay, we could start from this because I've got a good experience from another community, the Dovis Project for Indentured Languages, where they had this strategy that for each recording they would do for indentured languages in Amazonia and all over the world, they would first offer a version of the recording for proofreading by the corresponding communities and ask for their permission to actually distribute under certain conditions. So for instance, there were some notorious secrets like the kind of songs and dance you've got to learn when you're a teenager to go to the adult life. This is something that no one would like to put public, so it was archived but not disseminated. So this is something to work with the. This is easy because there are local populations. In that case, in the case of archaeology, typically you probably have to divide your own strategy. But this is feasible. Just mentioning this project because I know it's feasible.
No, well, it's usually when we do this kind of work, the ethics considerations are the last one. The ethics issues are the last one you consider, because well, most of this, the work we have discussed here, is belong to our culture, so there is no issue about this. So I don't think really that this would be top of our concerns. The IPR issue is actually more more important, because it's it is something which is completely unclear. And the process to produce 3D models is a complex one. So you start from a physical object which belongs legally belongs to usually belongs to a state or a state officer. Most European countries have legislation stating that the cultural heritage of their country is the property of the state. It is not clear, or not completely clear, or the subject of some discussion, if this prevents people from making copies. Usually, according to EU regulations, what is public should be open to the public. But as we all know, this does not apply to cultural heritage. And in particular, does not apply to archaeological objects, does not apply to museum objects, and so on. So, what originally was created for protecting the items on exhibition in a museum or the monuments around, and still sometimes is necessary for this purpose, becomes the instrument used by nasty officers to reaffirm they are in command. So if an officer from some antiquity authority wants to show that he or she are the commander, they can deny permission to do the job. And this is, of course, unacceptable. Of course, nobody is discussing the moral rights to protect objects. I remember that some years ago there was an advertising made by an American company producing rifles, displaying the Michelangelo's David with a rifle, holding a rifle. So it was a sort of, I believe it was a photo. So they took the photo and some inserted with Photoshop a rifle. And of course the Italian government was strongly protesting against this, and they said, okay, we have the right. So at the end, the end of the story was good, because the company had enough advertising from all this noise that they decided that the photo had achieved the result of improving their ad. However, it is still we hear a lot of excuses for using property rights in a distorted way. So the first and most common is that the rights of reproducing images or 3D, reproducing with images or 3D cultural heritage artifacts, is a way for heritage institutions to make money. This is, everybody knows that this is a completely, it's a damned lie. They make very little money from this, and it is not a good reason for preventing people or to give permission out of the officers' goodwill, and not because it is compulsory. I remember, and perhaps also Gabriele over there remembers how difficult it has been in the past to make scans of 3D objects. So it is necessary to have a clear regulation in this domain. Of course, some control must be present, but just not for for IPR reasons, just out of security and safety. Recently, for example, in Italy, there was a new law which states that taking photographs and extensively, we could say, making 3D scans of objects contained in museums or of monuments is free as long as it is not for the profit. And this sounds reasonable, because if you make a picture just to produce a poster advertising something, you may have to pay a tax to somebody. Well, that sounds good, but nobody, in our case, there is no profit behind the work. So not for the profit. For scientific, for reasons of study or of communication, and this is fine, without using a tripod. The reason of the prohibition of the use of the tripod is because a tripod means that could not be safe, not because you can do strange things, but because using a tripod in a museum can be somehow risky for visitors and so on. So for you to use the tripod, you have to ask permission. And this sounds reasonable if it is reasonable that they give you the permission for safety reasons and not just to be the tax paid when you cross a bridge. So it's not. You can freely disseminate such images and also 3D models as long as it is on the internet, as long as it is impossible to reproduce them for commercial reasons. And this, before the law said at low resolution, but then somebody said that low resolution is an unclear expression. So what do you mean by low resolution? What is low resolution for me could be high resolution for others, and vice versa. So they said they decided to put this strange expression, as long as you guarantee that it cannot be reused for commercial purposes, which is a condition which is impossible to achieve. Because, okay, I take a picture of Roberto Scopigno, who is a famous heritage object, and then I put it on the internet, but I don't want it to be used for commercial purposes. So I put letters here, don't use it for commercial purposes. And then, as for the paintings of Andy Warhol, it becomes a new form of art. And somebody decides to put it on t-shirts and sell the t-shirts. So I've studied for one full day with a couple of lawyers, and we decided that it is impossible to avoid that something you put on the internet or you make available online is you cannot never guarantee that it is impossible to reuse it for commercial purposes. You can put a license, okay, but we all know how difficult it is to define a right licensing scheme for 3D objects, for example, using Creative Commons. Because if you are permissive, everything works, and that's easy. CC0, no problem. CC BY, little problems. Even if quoting other people's work, doesn't happen always, but nevertheless, okay. But not commercial. And no derivatives, are a terrible scheme, because if you put somebody says that if you put an image in a non-commercial page and on the side there is advertising over France, this is a commercial use, because you make money out of the advertising next to the picture. So it's a mess, okay? So IPR is something that deserves attention.
Mm.
It deserves, because otherwise it is an obstacle to not only to using 3D models, but for example to open access. Mm. So it is absolutely incoherent and mad to promote open access on one side and to put restrictions on the use of 3D models taken from heritage objects.
Okay, thank you, Roberto. Franco. What I understand from your experience is that obstacles still exist, and some obstacles have to be kept. I mean, not I think, but things are changing, and that's a good good thing around economical stakes, I would say, to make it sure. But the question of today of the ethics is maybe resumed around your idea that things that come from a public service should be open to the public, and it's not it's a debate, because it's not that easy, as you show. It's not that easy to make, and to both I'd say technically we've seen the difficulties, and also because of the law, you know, rules and things like this.